For so many people today, the word salvation and the thought behind it have just about been ruined. That word has been so used and abused by certain segments of religion that it has come to mean little more than an emotional experience that is chiefly concerned with our eternal destiny. The very worst thing that can ever happen to any religious concept is for it to become disconnected from our real life. And in so many circles today, that is exactly what has happened to the idea of salvation. Thus, today in Christian thinking, we are faced with this strange paradox that salvation itself needs to be saved. We can start by remembering that the need for salvation is really rooted not in religion, but in real life. All you need to do is look up that word in any dictionary, and you will find two definitions. The first one is preservation from destruction, from ruin, loss, or calamity. And the second one is a saving of the soul from sin and its punishment. Now, those two definitions are in their proper order. Salvation is a very big and broad word. It has to do with something much more than saving of the soul. And if religion mishandles this great matter, so much the worse for religion. But human life itself will go right on, searching and working, hoping and praying for salvation. The disarmament talks taking place in Geneva are a prayer for salvation. All medical research is a prayer for salvation. Every economic conference is a prayer for salvation. Every girl and boy that enrolls in school is seeking salvation. Every woman and man that gets up in the morning and goes out to work is concerned with salvation. Now, we people in the church today need to recognize this great truth. We need to strip this word salvation of all of its incredible, unbelievable meanings and put that word back again in touch with real life, where people today so desperately need to be saved, right there in our daily real life. During Advent, our central focus is on salvation. An Advent reading from the book of Isaiah says, "The winding ways shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth, and all humankind shall see the salvation of our God." But the first thing that tells us is that salvation comes to us from God. And we can take great comfort in that message. If the only thing that we people had to count upon was our own human strength and goodness, then I'm afraid the battle really would be lost. All we need to do today is look around us in this world, and what do we see? Hatred, acts of terrorism, an insane buildup of nuclear warfare, weapons, racial persecution, political oppression. If I thought that the only way out of all of this was for us people to lift ourselves up by our own bootstraps, then I, for one, would be ready to give up the fight today. Now, this is not to say that I've lost my faith in people. I'm simply saying that my faith in people is rooted in something other than people. For we know that great religion has always seen the very best in us people and has tried to bring it out of us. But great religion has believed in our best because it is convinced that our best is always rooted in the very character of our God who lives within us. Listen again to what Paul wrote to the Philippians. I am sure of this much, that he who has begun the good work in you will carry it through to completion, right up to the day of Christ Jesus. Great religion, at its best, has always believed that our best is always backed up by God's best. We people are not alone in this fight. God, the mysterious presence, is always with us and within us. And if we people ever needed that message of the good news, we need it today. If all that we would have would be a religious pep talk for all of you people to get out there and try harder, then we could really afford to stay away from church. But if God is really with us, working in us people, working through us people, then we need to be reminded of that at least once a week here in the Eucharist to keep our hope raised up. All humankind shall see the salvation of our God. No salvation can be seen until and unless it does produce some practical results. We need to hear that today. Because too often, our thoughts of salvation are concerned primarily with getting our souls into heaven. And if that is all that we care about, then we people, of all people, need most desperately to be saved. We need to be saved from our own self-centeredness and saved from our calloused indifference to the human needs of others. This concept of salvation, of saving our souls, really should trouble us because it can so easily become an excuse for people to resign from the real ranks of life. How often do we still hear people say today, why should we be concerned about this hell that we live here on earth when heaven is really my home? Don't bother talking to us about war and poverty, about ignorance and disease. They say the only answer is to go on enduring these problems as we anticipate eternal bliss. That's what we hear people say today. And yet surely we recognize that this is a distortion of the New Testament salvation that Jesus described. When Jesus saved a person, instead of taking that person out of life, Jesus put him right back into the very thick of life. He took that person off the bench and got him back into the game of life. I'm thinking right now in particular of that person called Zacchaeus in the city of Jericho. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. And Jesus said to Zacchaeus, "Today, salvation has come to your house. For this is what it means to be a son of Abraham." Now, what was it that Jesus had in mind when he said that to Zacchaeus? He certainly was not saying that Zacchaeus had resigned from life and had simply decided to sit back and start waiting for heaven. In reality, the very first thing that Zacchaeus, the tax collector, did was to start working on economic corruption, beginning with his very own life. Zacchaeus said, "If I have defrauded anyone in the least, I always pay him back fourfold." And then Zacchaeus also became a philanthropist. He said, "I give half of all my belongings to the poor." That is what Jesus called salvation. And it does not look like a one-way ticket to heaven. It looks more like a man who had decided to become deeply concerned and vitally involved with the everyday problems of people. And that kind of salvation is practical, the kind that Jesus describes in the New Testament. We are able to look at it. We are able to see it with our own two eyes. For our God is in the saving business. All salvation, ultimately and finally, comes from him, that mysterious presence in our midst. But it is not some kind of meaningless magic sense. God's salvation that comes to us in Christ has to do with real daily life. He saves people, all of us, from darkness to light, from despair to new hope, from fear to renewed faith, from any kind of bondage to the freedom we need, and from guilt to pardon. All mankind, including each one of us, shall see the salvation of our God. Thank you.